So I just want to thank everybody for dialing in to the shiur. I really appreciate it. This is a Yahrzeit shiur in memory of my daughter, Abby. And the shiur is on this past week's parsha, Aaron's silence after Nadav and Avihu's death. So I'm going to discuss an idea that's been impactful on me. It's affected me most recently. And hopefully you'll also find that it impacts you. That's my goal. And we'll start with an idea that I already spoke about many years ago, one of my shiurim, but I didn't actually go into the other part, the other aspects of this story, which is Aaron's response, Aaron's silence. So we're going to focus on both elements and hopefully come out with a clearer idea as to the nature of the story in this past week's parsha. So we'll start with source number one. It's right on the screen, so you can follow along. Source number one is Vayikra Yud, Pasuk Aleph. And it says, "Vayichu v'nei Aaron Nadav v'Avihu ish machdaso v'yitnu v'hein ish v'yasimu aleha ketores v'yakrivu l'fnei Hashem ish zara asher lo tziva osam." The sons of Bnei Aaron, the two oldest, Nadav and Avihu, they took their pans and they went into the Kodesh Kadashim. They put a fire on with ketores, and it was a big mistake. Hashem did not command them to do this. And in Pasuk Beis, it says, Vateitze esh melepnei Hashem, vatokal osam, vayemusu lepnei Hashem. So what happened as a result is that they were killed by Hashem. That was their punishment, their onesh, for what they had done. A fire went forth and consumed them. There's a machlokas on how they died, I think. But they died. And that's the story. So there are two aspects to the Pasukim, and I didn't take up the third Pasuk, which we're going to mention as we go through the shir. But the basic backdrop is that Nadav and Avihu, the two sons of Aaron, the two older sons of Aaron, did something wrong. They brought a ketores in a pan into the Kodesh Kodashim, which they shouldn't have done. And as a result, they were chayv misa and they were killed by Hashem. So there's a question in the Mefarshim, in the Gemara, what exactly did they do wrong? What was their chait? And Rashi brings down the opinions. Look in source number two. It says, Vateitze esh, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, So one opinion is Rabbi Eliezer, and he maintains that the chait, the flaw of Nadav and Avihu was that they failed to consult with Moshe, their Rebbe, before they did what they did, and they just decided on their own that it would be okay and appropriate for them to bring this ketores offering into the Kodesh Kodashim, and as a result, they were punished with Misa. But the essential flaw was that they didn't ask Moshe. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Shasu Yain, Nichnasu L'Mikdash. Rabbi Shmuel says that the flaw of Nadav and Avihu was that they drank wine before they went into the Mikdash. Teda, She'achar Misasan, Hizir Asan Osarim, Shalo Yichnasu Shasu Yain. And the way you know that is that right after this parsha, this area in the Torah, the Asar, the warnings for Kohanim to not go into the Mikdash after drinking wine, that comes about. So it's reflective of what the actual sin was of Nadav and Avihu, which was that they drank wine before going into the Mikdash. Mashal Melech Shehailo Ben Bayis, and then he brings down a mashal from the Midrashim, K'disa B'Vayikra Rava. So according to this Rashi, there are two opinions as to possibly why Nadav and Avihu were punished and what their flaw was. One opinion is that they failed to consult with Moshe appropriately before they did what they did. And therefore, because they didn't listen to Moshe or they didn't consult with Moshe, they were chayv misa. And according to the other, they drank wine before they went into the mikdash, and they weren't supposed to do that. And therefore, they were punished. Okay, so we want to understand a little bit deeper as to what exactly is going on here. Why did they do that? Is it indicative of their personality types? Is there more information that we can gain as to the nature of the flaw of Nadav and Avihu? So there's one other area where there's an allusion to the fact that Nadav and Avihu were killed for a certain flaw. And that occurs in Shemos Chaf Dalet and Parshas Mishpatim. Look in source number three. It says, Vayal Moshe v'Aaron Nadav Avihu v'Shivim Zikne Yisrael. So Moshe, Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, and the Shivim Zikne Yisrael, they were entitled by Har Sinai to go up the mountain further than the rest of the nation. And it says in Pasuk Yod over there, Vayiru Es Elokei Yisrael. And they saw this image that underneath the legs of whatever they saw, there was bricks of sapphire, which were very pure looking in terms of their color. And they went further than what they were supposed to, because Rashi says over there in source number four, Vayiru es Elokei Yisrael, Nistaklu behetzitzu v'neschaibu misa. So they were only supposed to get a glimpse. They went beyond that. They failed. And therefore, they were neschaib misa. Ela shelo ratza kadosh baruch hu la'arbev simchas ha-Torah. But the Torah was given at that point, and Hashem, he didn't want to ruin the joyousness of the celebration of receiving the Torah. And therefore, v'himtin l'nadav aviyu ad yom chanukas ha-mishkan. He waited to kill Nadav and Aviyu until the chanukas ha-mishkan, the dedication of the Mishkan, which was in our parsha, this past week's parsha, in Shmini, which I just mentioned in source number one. U'l'zakenim ad vayu am kimis onanim v'tivar bam eish Hashem v'tochal v'kzeh ha-machaneh v'kitzinim shebahem. And also, he held off in killing the Zakenim till later on when it talks about the Misonanim, the complainers. And the Torah uses the term Bikzei HaMachaneh, Bikitzinim is a reference to the nobles. It's a reference to the fact that he killed the Zakenim at that point later on. So now we see another ingredient being brought into this equation. So before we saw from the Gemara, Rashi brings down the Midrash, it's also in the Gemara, there's a Machlokes as to what the nature of their flaw was. Is it that they didn't consult with Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why Nadav and Aviyu were killed? Or was it that they drank wine? But now there's a new ingredient being brought in by Rashi over here in Mishpatim, and he's saying really their flaw was related to the fact that they saw too much in the story of Har Sinai, and as a result of seeing too much, because they were supposed to, there were certain boundaries as to how far they were allowed to go, but they went beyond those boundaries. And as a result of that, they saw what they weren't supposed to see, and they were chayiv misa. However, Hashem kind of held back till the right time, and the right time happened to be Chanukas HaMishkan, which was in this past week's parsha. So the question is, again, going back to the fundamental question, what exactly did they do wrong? And also, these seem like different opinions. Is there one type of unifying idea that we can probably get a general or broader overview as to what exactly the flaw of Nadav and Aviyu were in this situation? So those are the questions. And we see a little bit of insight from the way Moshe responds to Aaron in source number five. So right after they die, Moshe says to Aaron in the Pasuk, it's Pasuk Gimel, I didn't put it in earlier. It says, Vayomer Moshe el Aaron, Hu asher diber Hashem lemor, bikrovai ekadesh, v'al pnei chol ha'am ekaved, vayidom Aaron. And now Moshe responds and he says to Aaron, this is what Hashem said when he told me earlier on, and Rashi quotes the Pasuk, that I will be sanctified through those who are close to me. And therefore, as a result, there will be this heaviness on the nation. The nation will be impacted by it in a very strong manner. Vayidom Aaron. And Aaron's response was that he was silent. So what exactly is Moshe telling Aaron in this exchange? That's the question. It's not really so clear from the pasuk itself. It's a little bit strange. So if you look at Rashi in source number six, he kind of gives us some insight. He says, Hu asher diber Hashem, the heichan diber, where did Hashem say to Moshe that this was going to happen, that Nadav and Avihu were going to die by the Mishkan, by Chanukas HaMishkan? So it says earlier on in Shemos Chavtas, V'no'ati shama v'nekdash b'chvodi, al tikrei b'chvodi ela b'chvodai. It says that Hashem is going to be known and he's going to be sanctified in his glory. But they read b'chvodi as b'chvodai by my honored ones, meaning it's going to be through the killing of his honored ones, and that's a reference to Nadav Navihu, that Hashem will be sanctified in that situation of Chanukas HaMishkan. So Amar lo Moshe la'Aaron, Moshe said to Aaron, Aaron achi, Aaron, my brother, yodea hiisi shiskadesh habayis b'miyuda'av shel makom. So I knew that the Mishkan was going to be sanctified through those who know me, who are knowledgeable of me. Vayisi savor obi obach, and I thought that it was either me or you. Akshav roe ani shehem gedolim imeni omemcha. So now I know that they're greater than me or you, because I thought, this is a funny type of logic, but Moshe is saying, I thought that I was going to die in this story, and through that death, I was going to sanctify the name of Hashem, or it would be you, but now I know that they're greater than us. And if you keep going, let's just get the facts before we analyze it. Bikrovai, bivchirai. It means the ones who are chosen. The ones who are chosen, the chosen people. So those are Nadav and Aviyu. So when Hashem does justice with tzaddikim, great people, so people as a result are in awe, and they also praise Hashem, and it elevates Hashem. Imkain be'elu kol shekein v'rasha'im. And if that's what happens with tzaddikim when they die, so even more so with rasha'im, with evil people. V'cheinu omer, nora elokim mikdashecha mimikudashecha. So it's the same concept, that Hashem's wonder comes about through the death of tzaddikim, through those who are kadosh. Okay, so now we see from Rashi one additional concept that he's introducing, which is that really none of Navihu weren't such bad guys. They were actually pretty good guys. They were decent guys. In fact, he says that they were better than Moshe and Aaron themselves. He mentions that to Aaron. He says, I know that they're greater than me and you. Hem gedolim mimenu mimcha. So what does that mean? How is that true, that really Nadav and Avihu were actually better than Moshe and Aaron? Is that really true? Doesn't seem like it was true. So why is he saying that to Aaron? And furthermore, what's the point of this exchange? What is the purpose of Moshe telling Aaron this at this point, at this moment? And does this shed light on the nature of the flaw of Nadav and Avihu? So we said earlier, again, just to recap, that Nadav and Avihu, there are different possibilities as to why Nadav and Avihu were killed. Either it was because they were more halacha b'fnei Rabo, which is Moshe, or it was because they drank wine, or it was because in the story by Mishpatim, they went too far, they saw too much that they weren't supposed to see. And Moshe is saying to Aaron that they really were good guys, and not they weren't just good guys, they were amazing, they're better than me and you. So in what sense were they better than Moshe and Aaron? That's the question. But also, does this kind of give us insight as to the nature of the flaw of Nadav and Avihu based on this exchange between Moshe and Aaron? So what we have to say based on this statement is that whatever their flaw was, it wasn't just that they were acting in a dumb manner and they were just being irresponsible, but it was a little more sophisticated, and there was some goodness there. There was some goodness being expressed by Nadav and Avihu, and that's why Moshe, in a certain sense, is saying that they're great, that they're great individuals, and they're greater than me and you, because he's expressing the fact that despite their flaw, there was some good element, there was some perfection that existed in this situation where they brought the Torah. There was something good about it. So what exactly is going on with Nadav and Avihu? Can we understand their flaw to a deeper degree, to a greater degree? So that is the question. So this is the first part of this year. And then the next part of this year, we're going to kind of get into answering the other questions, which are, were they really greater than Moshe and Aaron? And what was the purpose of Moshe saying this to Aaron, and how is Aaron's response received? But I think that the answer lies in this famous Rambam. It's not just the Rambam, it's the Gemara, but we'll just quote the Rambam because it's a little easier to follow. It says in source number 7, it's a famous halacha by Simchas Yantif. So Shiva Simei Pesach. So you also get some pre-Pesach Torah here. Shiva Simei Pesach, Ushmona Simei Chag, Im Shar Yamim Tovim, Kulan Asurin Besefed V'Tainis. So all the Yantifs, you're not allowed to have eulogies, hespeds, or tainus, or fasting. The chayav adam liyos bahen sameach v'tov lev. And not only that, but you also have to be happy and have a happy heart, a good heart. Hu vana v'ishto b'nei v'so v'chol nilvim olav. And not just him, but also your children, your wife, and everybody who's dependent. Shneamar v'samachta b'chagecha atov v'necha atov v'incha v'itecha v'abdecha v'amasecha. So everybody in your household has to be in a state of simcha. So the classic mitzvah of simcha demands that you bring a korban shlomim, but within that is this mitzvah to make everybody in your house sameach based on their own personal simcha, their own personal needs. And he explains, so you give to the ketanim some good nuts, because that's what they're into. And your wife, you're supposed to buy her clothing or jewelry, whatever you can afford. And the men, their simcha is eating meat and drinking wine. So this is classic, a classic Rambam. And he says that the simcha only comes about through eating basar for a man and also through drinking wine. So you also have to give food to those who need food, to those who are needy. Anybody who just shuts down their door, closes it, and he eats with his family, and he chooses not to help those who are needy, so this is not considered simchas mitzvah, it's just the simcha of his belly. It's shameful, it's embarrassing. So it's a famous Rambam, but the Rambam is saying, based on the Gemara, that the way in which you fulfill your mitzvah of simcha, which is a simcha of Pnei Hashem, it's a famous shir on the idea of simcha before Hashem. In the classic way, it was through a shlamim, but nowadays we use basar and yayin, and yayin is definitely something that brings a person to the state of simcha, the state of simcha lifnei Hashem. Of course, there's other Rambams which talk about overdrinking and, you know, being an alcoholic, which is definitely not a good, but there is a concept of being in a certain state of mind that yayin brings you to, and there's a good to that, to being in the state of simcha lifnei Hashem. And we see that you can't just, as a result of this Rambam and the Gemara, and also what Moshe was saying, you'd be hard-pressed to say that none of you were just simple alcoholics, that they were just addicted to alcohol, and that was their flaw. It seems like their flaw was more sophisticated, which was that they really were attracted to the idea of Hashem. They wanted more knowledge of Hashem. We see that earlier on in Chaf Dalet, that their flaw was that they went beyond their boundaries, that they were supposed to stop at a certain point, and they saw too much. What does it mean they saw too much? It means that mentally, philosophically, they weren't prepared for the information. They weren't on the level. They weren't deserving of receiving that knowledge. And they went beyond their boundaries, beyond their limitations. And that was really their flaw. But it was driven by a genuine desire to connect with God. There was a genuineness there. And there was a good there. There was a perfection in Nadav and Avihu. And I think that that's the idea of drinking wine. It wasn't that they were drinking because they wanted to, to get smashed or anything like that, but they wanted to drink in order to be in a state of simcha lifnei Hashem. And they believed that that was really the best state to be in. Now at Chanukah Samishkan, it was most appropriate for them to be in that state, and that yayin would be a great thing to have in order to get them into that state. And as a result of that, they did definitely make a mistake, because you're not allowed to drink wine and do avoda like that. However, their logic wasn't so off. And they were driven by a desire to really connect with Hashem, to really know more than what they knew, and they had a desire to gain in their knowledge. And there's something that's very noble about that. That was Moshe. Moshe was always driven to gaining more knowledge from Hashem, to getting as much knowledge as possible. In fact, he asks Hashem, you know, to see him and to learn as much as he possibly can about him. And that was the nature of Nadav and Avihu. In a certain sense, they were like Moshe and Aaron. They were driven to gain that knowledge. And their flaw was that they didn't realize their restrictions or limitations, and they did things that were inappropriate in order to get to that final spot of that knowledge, of gaining that knowledge. So the machlokes is whether or not their ego took hold of them slightly and they bypassed Moshe in order to get there, or whether or not they believed that they had to put themselves artificially in this state of mind in order to be lifnei Hashem, and they utilized that inappropriately. But it's the same basic underlying cause of their flaw, was that they wanted to go beyond their limitations, their philosophical limitations, and as a result of that, they were killed. And it's showing you the importance of a person recognizing the dangers of going beyond your limitations in trying to connect with God and trying to learn about God, because if you go too far and you're not prepared for it mentally, it's really harmful. And they were chayv misa, they were deserving of death because it was bizayon. They shouldn't have done that, and they weren't ready for this information. And that's why it's not such a contradiction that Hashem waited till Chanukah Samishkan in order to kill them, because he's showing you that there's an expression, or the expression of the same thing. It happened at the Mishkan as what happened earlier by Har Sinai, that just like by Har Sinai, they went beyond their limitations. So too at the Mishkan, at Chanukah Samishkan, there is a similar expression of the same flaw that occurred earlier on in Mishpatim and Chaf Dalet, where they wanted to go beyond their limitations, their restrictions, and that's why they were punished to the degree that they were punished. So that is the first concept, the first idea, as to how to explain how Nadav and Avihu weren't such bad guys, that they really were good guys. They really had this noble concept, this noble cause. However, they just went about it in the wrong way. They let their ego get involved by bypassing Moshe, or they chose to do this act of getting drunk to put them into that state when really it was inappropriate. It was bizayon to Hashem, bizayon to Mikdash. But either way, I think the general point that I want to leave off with before we get to the next part of the shir is that they were really good in a certain sense, but of course they were flawed as well. But the good was that they really wanted and they had a strong desire to connect with God to the greatest degree. Okay, so that is the first part. I'm just going to take a drink here. All right. So now the question is, okay, the question is more detailed now, because it's one thing to say that they weren't such bad guys, but Moshe, he's kind of going above that, and he's saying that they're greater than me and you. So it's fine. He could have just said to Aaron, listen, they're good. You know, they didn't do something. They're not so bad. But what exactly was the purpose of Moshe saying that they're greater than me and you? It's not really true. Is that really true that they were greater than Moshe and Aaron? Maybe they had a stronger desire, but they still were flawed in the sense that they went beyond their limitations and Moshe and Aaron knew not to. Or I mean, Aaron was also somewhat responsible in Chavdalet and in Mishpatim. But nevertheless, to say that they're greater than Moshe and Aaron is kind of a stretch. Nobody really thinks of Nadav and Avihu in that way. So why exactly did he say that to Aaron? And what was Aaron's response in that situation? So let's go to source number 8 here. If anybody has any questions, you can always just unmute and just ask. But it says in 8, by Yidum Aaron. So what happened after Moshe spoke to Aaron? He was silent. It says, V'kibel schar al shesikaso. At the end of the pasuk, it says that he was silent. And Rashi says that he received a reward for being silent. Uma schar kibel, what was his reward? Shenis yachid imo adibor. Shenemar lo levad parsha shesuya yayin. So he received the dibor, he received prophecy from Hashem and the commandment of the Isser to drink wine before you go into the mikdash. So now the question is, to just take it further, what exactly was the good in Aaron's silence? Can we understand it? Can we define it? What was the schar? Why did he deserve schar? Why was that the right approach of Aaron? And furthermore, what does the schar have to do with his demama, with his silence? Why is that the schar for Aaron's silence? So can we understand that? And also, there's two interesting mefarshim on this that we're going to explain. But the Ramban says in source number 9, Vitama Yidom Aaron, he says, Shehaya Bocha Bekol V'Aj Shasak Okitam V'Alti Dombas Einecha. So he cried, and then he was quiet. So that's what it means, he was silent. So he was in a state of crying, and then he silenced himself, and because of that, he was rewarded. So what exactly is the Ramban adding? Why do we have to know that he was Bocha first, and then he silenced himself? He's just explaining the active idea of silencing, of Vayidom. He's saying it wasn't that he didn't say anything. No, he was crying, and then he actively silenced himself. But can we understand the Bechia? Can we understand what exactly was going on in Aaron's mind? What was the response of Aaron? How did Moshe approach it? So let's get some insight into that. And one more parish, the Sforno, and then we'll get to the, we'll try to go into some detail. But the Sforno says in number 10, Vayidom Aaron, Shehisnachim, Bekiddush Hashem, Shenekadesh Bemosam. So why was he silent? The silence was a reflection of the nichum, of his comfort that he felt through the fact that Nadav and Avihu were or functioned as a Kiddush Hashem, because Moshe says to Aaron that as a result of their death, Hashem was Mekudash, Hashem was glorified, sanctified as a result of Nadav and Avihu's death. So what exactly is the nichum there? And maybe the Sforno is kind of hinting to what I think is going on, which is that this is kind of a paradigm for how Nichum Avelim is supposed to be done and how Nichum is supposed to be accomplished in the Avel himself. So Moshe, obviously the greatest individual, he's expressing how Nichum should be done. And Aaron's response is how Nichum should be received Nichum should be processed from the part of the mourner. And Aaron is the paradigm of that. And I think that's what the Torah is kind of presenting us, but the Medrash gives us some more insight as to why this is the paradigm of Nichum and how we can define how you're supposed to be Menachem Avelim based on what Moshe was doing and how the mourner is supposed to process it and what the concept of Nichum really is, where it stems from. So that is really what the direction I want to take in this year. So let's take that up. Let's try that approach. So let's look at source number 11 in the Medrash. So the source in the Medrash brings a little more detail to the story on Vayomer Moshe el Aaron. And we'll start with Kevan Shira'a Moshe es Aaron Omed Betohe. So Moshe saw Aaron, he was standing and he was lost. He was kind of lost. He didn't know what to do. Amar Oili Shikachia Vera Biyadi Ubiyad Banai. And Aaron in the Medrash, Aaron says, woe is to me that this was the sin of me and also my children. So the Torah doesn't mention this part, but Aaron, he was kind of lost, and he was asking himself, did I cause this to happen? Is it because of me? Is it because of my children? Nichnas Moshe etzlo b'haya mefaiso. So Moshe's response for his brother was that he went in and he provided appeasements to Aaron. Amar lo, and he said, achi, zemi Sinai nemarli. He said, my brother, this fact was told to me from Sinai. She'asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'kadesh es habayis hazeh, because eventually Hashem in the future will sanctify this bayis, the Mishkan, uva adam gadol ani mekadesho, and I'm going to be mekadesh it with somebody who's great. V'hayisi omer obi obach habayis hazeh miskadesh obecha. So I said that it's either me or you, meaning Aaron, that's how the bayis will be miskadesh. V'achshav nimtzu shnei banecha gedolim mimenu u'mimecha. And this is the same thing as Rashi says. He says, now I know that your children are greater than me and you. Aaron. So as soon as Aaron heard this, he was quiet, as it says, Vayidom Aaron. So we see from here that Moshe just gives us a little more insight than what Rashi brought down. But the Medrash says that Aaron was kind of in a state here where he was questioning whether or not his Avera caused it or his children's Avera caused it. And Moshe says, no, they were greater than you and me. But the reality is that it was their Avera that caused it. It was Aaron's, because Aaron did go too far also in Chaf Dalet, but it was also their Avera. We see from all the Mefarshim that they did something wrong. So it sounds like Moshe is kind of lying to him or not really telling him the truth. Moshe should say, listen, it is your children's fault. They should not have gone in and brought a korban without asking for halacha. They shouldn't have drank wine. So they did make a mistake. So why is this the response of Moshe to Aaron, when Aaron is questioning whether or not it was his Avera or his children's Avera? It was their Avera. That is the reality. So Moshe sounds like he's bypassing the truth, and he's not telling Aaron the truth. And for some reason, he's turning it into this positive whereby his children are better. And I don't know why that helps. And that's what we have to explain also. Why does that help Aaron? What exactly is the mum of Aaron, the nichum of Aaron? So I think that Moshe is kind of expressing the paradigm again of Nichum, how Nichum is done. And I was looking through the Rambam in Avil and trying to get some insight into the nature of Nichum, just a very broad concept about Nichum from the Rambam, and then maybe bring it back to what Moshe was doing a little bit, show how they're connected to one another. So it says in the Rambam, these are all based on the Gemaras, Keita Menachman is Avilim. So how do you do Nichum? What's the process of Nichum? So Achar Shekovrin is Amaz, Miskapsin Avilim, Ba'umdin Bitzad Beis HaKvaros. So after the burial of the dead, so what happens is the people, they gather, Miskapsin Avilim, the mourners all gather, and they stand at the side of the cemetery. B'chol Malvin is Amaz, Omdin Sabiv Lahan Shura Lifnei Shura. And anyone who escorted the mace, the mace into the burial, so they would stand in lines and lines. V'ein Shura P'chusim Asara, V'ein Avilim in Aminyan. And they didn't have any line that was less than 10 people. And the Avilim were not part of that minyan. Havilim omdim l'smol, v'am nachamin, v'chol menachamin, v'ayin etzal havilim, echad echad, v'omrin lahen, t'nuchumu min hashamayim. So the Avilim stand on the left side, and all of those who are comforting the mourners, they go to them and they say, t'nuchumu min hashamayim, that you should receive comfort from the heavens, meaning Hashem. The Acharkach holecha avil leveso, and then the avil goes to his house, v'chol yom b'yom, m'shivas mi'avilus, v'ayin b'nei adam l'nachamo. And then each day of Avelus, so these people come to give him comfort, to give the Avel, the mourner, comfort. Bein shebo panim chadashos, bein shelobo, whether they're new or not. So that is the first part of Nichum. The first part of Nichum is that there are these lines that are formed, and you have the lines on the left side, and you have the Avelim stand on the left, the Menachemim stand on the right, and they say to Nuchumu min Hashemayim. So there's this, according to the Rambam, there's an ingredient as to what they're supposed to say. It's a script. You're supposed to say to Nuchumu min Hashemayim. And then it goes on. The Rambam goes on in Gimel. And then I'll give you a general concept that I was thinking about. Avil Mesa Barosh, Veinam Nachman, Rishon, Leshev, Ela Al Gabe Karka. So the Avil, he sits on the ground and he sits at the head. And the Menachemim, they have to sit with him on the ground. Shnamar, Vayishvu Ito La'aretz. Vein Rishon Lomar Davar, Ad Shi Pasach Avil Es Pib Tchila. And if you're doing Nichum, you're not supposed to say anything, which doesn't usually happen in these mourners' houses, unfortunately. But you're not supposed to speak until the Avel speaks first. Shneamar, the ain dovrei love davar uchsev achrei chen pasach iov espiu. So really, you're supposed to allow the person, the Avel, to speak first. And only then is the person who's coming to be Menachem, are they supposed to speak? And once the Avel, he kind of shakes his head and he gives you the sign, the shake, no, like, get out of here. So that means you have to leave and you can't sit by him anymore. You're not allowed to bother him too much. You have to stay away from him. When he wants you to go away, go away. And also a lot of Menachem don't do that as well. They don't pick up on those signs or signals. But when the Avel, he shakes his head, he's Menanei Arosho, it's a sign. Get out of here. Okay, fine. So what exactly is Nichom according to the Rambam? So what's interesting in these Rambams and the Gemara is that there's this formation. There seems to be a lot of formation involved, like where the people stand after what they're supposed to say. To Nichom Umin HaShemayim, there's not a lot of embellishment. You're not allowed to say what you want to say. And then even when you're actually being Menachem, the person in their house, you have to sit on the floor with them. So why is it so important? Why is the structure of Nichom so important to being Menachem, the Avel? Why isn't it just what you say to the Avel? Why does the structure matter so much? So there's a concept that I was thinking about and I speak about a lot, actually, in some of my other work, my work jobs, and that's empathy. And the concept is empathy. Empathy is just a simplistic definition is when you feel or you try to feel what another person is feeling, you express to them, you express to a person. There's also conveying empathy, where you express to a person that you understand what the other person is feeling, or you're trying to, at least. And there's a famous article, my father-in-law, actually, I got to give a shout out to my father-in-law. There's a famous article that he sent me a year ago, a year and a half ago, from the Wall Street Journal. And it was about how, what's the least empathetic thing to say? So what is the worst thing to say to somebody to avoid conveying empathy? So the answer is if you start a sentence with at least it wasn't, or at least you weren't. So for example, if somebody, somebody broke a leg and you said to them, well, it's not so bad, you know, at least you're not paralyzed. Or if somebody fell down the steps and they're still alive, but they're in a coma, well, at least you're alive, you're not dead. You're not supposed to start a sentence with, at least you weren't. And when you start a sentence like that, so it's perceived as being, or a lack of empathy is definitely perceived. And the reason is, psychologically, because when a person's in pain or they're mourning, it's central to them. They can't see perspective. When somebody dies who's close to you, a family member, anybody who dies who you're close to, it's very hard to see perspective for a while. There's a process of seeing perspective. And if it's your job as the Menachem to be empathetic, to demonstrate that you understand the centralization of the pain to the mourner. And that is what empathy is. Empathy, again, is feeling or trying to express that you're feeling what another person is feeling. And if you really understand most people, majority of people, when they're in pain, they can't see perspective in that moment. They feel like their pain is everything, is all. And when somebody experiences death, it's the same thing. They feel like the death is so central and there's nothing else that exists. You can't see perspective in that moment, or it's very difficult for a person to do that. And your job as a Menachem is to express empathy. And that's why I think that you're supposed to say Tenuchumu Min HaShemayim. Tenuchumu Min HaShemayim is like you're saying there's nothing I can really say to give you Nechama. It's out of my hands. Like I realized how that there's nothing I can say. There's no words that I can say at this moment that could put this in perspective, that could give you nechama in this moment. Therefore, it's nuchumu min hashamayim, or even sitting down with the Avel or approaching the Avel from the side. So all these are an idea of showing the Avel that their pain and their mourning is central. And that's what a person feels when they're experiencing mourning, when they're experiencing that pain, that there's nothing else in the world that really matters to them. It's really that the death and the pain that they're experiencing is essential. So the job of the Menachem is to really empathize, to demonstrate that empathy, and to show, to get into the mind of the Avel, and to recognize what they're experiencing, and to do what is necessary in order to cater to them somewhat. And that's why if the Avel says, I'm done with you, you have to leave, you have to cater to them, because there's a recognition on the part of Halacha that is legitimate, that feeling that way is part of mourning. Just like when a person hurts themselves, feeling that pain is part of pain. There's a legitimacy to that. There's a recognition of that. And our jobs and the mitzvah of Nichom takes that into account and is an expression of that concept of empathy, of really expressing to the Avel that you kind of understand, or you're trying to understand what they're experiencing, what they're going through. So that is what's going on. And you see that Moshe in the Medrash, go back to the Medrash, Moshe saw, because it says, Kevin Sharon Moshe's Aaron Omid Vitoa, Amar Oili Shikachia Verb Yadi Yad Banai. Nichnas Moshe Etzlo v'hayam Mefaiso. So that is really the paradigm of Nichum. Moshe understood the psyche of Aaron. He really understood, and this is the expression of empathy, I think, but he really understood what Aaron was going through. He understood the psyche of Aaron in that moment, and he was responding, and he responded appropriately because it worked, and it gave Aaron Nichum, and that's what the Sforno says, that Aaron achieved Nichum through this, but Moshe was responding because he understood the nature. He wasn't ignorant to the nature of his brother. He understood the feelings of stress that Aaron was going through, the mourning that Aaron was going through. And because he understood that, he was able to cater to Aaron appropriately and give him the information necessary to provide him with Nichum. And that is really the concept of Nichum, of getting into the mind, really understanding what the mind of a mourner is and empathizing with them, or at least conveying empathy. You might not feel what they're feeling, but at least you have to convey it by sitting with them, by saying to Nuchum Umin HaShemayim, convey that you have no answers. And that's what Moshe was doing. But he kind of does give Aaron an answer, and he's going a little further than what we do right after this process of burial. So can we get some more insight? Again, I think there's more to say on the concept of what Moshe was trying to do with Aaron and how it works in the framework of Nichum. So that's the next. So let's just move on. Are there any questions on that? I will get to the, I'm going to take it further. I'm not going to stop here. So there's more to say. Any questions? All right, awesome. If there are any questions, feel free to ask again at any moment, any point. Okay, so I want to go back to that question that I asked before, which was, and the Torah Tmimah kind of asks the same type of question, and he gives a different answer. He gives a good answer, but I want to take his answer and kind of go with it and give some more insight into what was happening between Moshe and Aaron and how Aaron's demama was really the correct response.
Yeah, Rabbi Ginsburg, just one question is, how would you say like the minhag that, not the Rambam, but Hamakom Yinachem Es Tamisoshar V'Leitzion, Yerushalayim, so how is that showing empathy, the fact that you're including, I'm not sure, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, is that, did you think about that at all, or is that...
Yeah, I mean, I think it's similar to Nuchum Umin HaShemayim. You're saying that there's nothing I could really say. Ultimately, it's kind of like I recognize that there's nothing I could really say to really like take the pain away. And that's really how a person feels. A person feels like there's nothing anybody can do to take this pain away. So you're kind of expressing that in Hamakom Yinachem Eslam.
Yeah, no, it's definitely good that it's for Hamakom Yinachem. It's from Hashem. I'm just asking the idea of grouping it with Shaar V'Leitzion V'Yerushalayim.
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I think that's the idea, though. Shaar V'Leitzion Yerushalayim is that, I don't know, it's a good question, because you do feel alone when something like that happens, and you're doing the opposite when you say Shaar V'Leitzion Yerushalayim. You're saying you're not alone. So that may be a lack of empathy, because you're minimizing the pain. So it's, right. Yeah, it could be. Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. I'm not sure. Say it's a new form of Yerushalayim.
Okay, I'll stick with that.
So the Torah Tamima mentioned something very interesting, fascinating. He says, "Ach tzarech iyun b'chal adrasha l'meisim anecha alak d'shemel." So he has this problem, the same problem that I had, which was, what does that mean that the only purpose of their death was to be mekadesh shem shemayim? They were flawed. They did something wrong. So what does that mean? What is Moshe saying to Aaron? V'halo l'fi adrasha kodemes meisu l'fi shahor alacha b'fnei Moshe. So the Torah Tmimah says the reason why they died was because there are more halacha b'fnei Moshe. V'gmara midrashim yesh ota amem l'sibas misasam. So there's other reasons given, like the shesuya yayin, or what I brought down from Rashi and Mishpatim. So there are a lot of reasons why they died. They didn't really die for Kiddush Hashem. That wasn't the ultimate cause of their death. And had they not done anything wrong, they wouldn't have died. So he says, v'chulam sibos machatiye atzman. The only reason why they died was because they themselves were flawed and they caused this. So what does that mean? That lo mesu banecha lahakdish shemo. What is Moshe saying to Aaron? The im kain ma'usha omar shemesu kedei lahakdish shemo. When he says that, v'tzarech lomar delule atachlis mekidah shemo yisbarach lo yu mesim ba'osin ayomim mimeam yiluim shayaz man simcha. So what he means to say is that really they were deserving of death, but if not for the fact that there was some function or purpose to their death, other than the fact that this happened, but there was some purpose of kiddush, they would have been killed at this moment. They would have been given some extra time, the same way they were given extra time in Mishpatim. In that story, they would be given extra time as well over here, because it was Man Simcha. And just like it was Man Simcha by Matan Torah, it was Man Simcha by Chanukah Samishkan. So Hashem, he wouldn't have killed Nadav and Avihu, despite the fact that they did something wrong. because there was a function, there was a purpose to their death. And that purpose was Kiddush Shamayim. Kiddush Lo Arbiv HaSimcha, so that he wouldn't ruin the Simcha. The Gam Lo Hayu Meisim Besoch HaMikdash, Kiddush Siv HaYimusu Lefnei Hashem, V'Rak Kiddush Yizkadi Shemo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaYad Tzarech Lo'oso Zman U'Makom. So they wouldn't have died in the Mikdash, but the only reason why they did was because there was a function, there was a goal to their death, and the goal to their death was that they could function as creating a Kiddush Hashem. The Kiddush Hashem was that people would realize that there are limitations, that a person's not supposed to go beyond, and you can't just walk into the Mikdash when you want. You can't do what you want when it comes to Mikdash. So that's an interesting answer the Torah Tmimah is saying. And he's basically, what he's saying is that Moshe wasn't saying to Aaron that your children aren't flawed, that they didn't do anything wrong, but he's saying that really they died now because they could function to the best ability or for the best purpose in this situation, maximum potential, they could function as Kiddush Hashem. And that's really an explanation that the Torah Tmimah is giving for the exchange between Moshe and Aaron. He's not saying that they did nothing wrong. Rather, he's saying that they would have been given extra time if not for the fact that there was a Kiddush Hashem that emerged and they could function to produce that Kiddush Hashem. So what is Moshe doing now? So I think that there's based on this Torah Tmimah, I think that there's a lot of insight that he's giving as to what's going on with Moshe and Aaron. See, Moshe saw that Aaron started questioning whether or not it was his Avera or his children's Avera. And that is a classic move by a mourner. So part of the whole process of mourning is there's either 5 or 7 stages of mourning, but blame, guilt, those are all aspects of mourning. A person starts questioning whether or not they're responsible. And that's just natural for a person to do. Was I the cause of this? Why did this happen? What was the cause of this? And Moshe is taking that, and the way he's providing Nichum to Aaron is by taking that and transitioning to the idea of function. He's saying it's not important as to what caused the Avera, what caused their death. It's not important that the Avera caused their death. What's important is how they function, that their death functioned as a Kiddush Hashem. So he's kind of transforming through his message to Aaron, the focus of Aaron. Aaron's initial focus is, if you go back to the Medrash, Kevan Shara Moshe's Aaron Omed Bitoa, Omar Oili Shakachia Ver Biyadi, Oviad Bonai. So Aaron was going down the path of like classic mourners. He was starting to question himself. What's the reason why this happened? What did I do wrong? Starting to blame himself, blame others. And that's where people get into the whole anger and the bargaining with God and the depression. That all starts with that sense of blame, like something, I did something wrong. And Moshe's saying, you need to get off that and realize that there was a function here for their death. And the function was amazing. The impact that they had on others was definitely Kiddush Hashem, and recognize the Kiddush Hashem that could have only emerged through them. Meaning, I don't think Aaron and Moshe are saying that they were greater individuals perfection-wise than Moshe and Aaron. He was saying that they functioned for the purpose and the goal of Kiddush Hashem to the best degree possible, to a greater degree than Moshe and Aaron would have. Because had Moshe and Aaron died, I don't know, there would be some backlash. It wouldn't have functioned perfectly as this Kiddush Hashem to demonstrate this idea that you're not supposed to go beyond your limitations. So he's not commenting on who they are as people. He's commenting on how they functioned in this situation. And he's saying that the function of Nadav and Avihu was such that they really embodied the idea of Kiddush Hashem through their death. And that's something that you need to focus on. That's something that you need to change your mentality, your mindset to, which is to function and not necessarily on blame and guilt and all these aspects of mourning. And there's an interesting idea, I think, that corroborates what I'm saying, which is from Bracious way earlier in Noach. It says over there in source number 14, Vayar Hashem ki rabba ra'asa adam ba'aretz v'chol yitzer machshavos libo rak ra kol hayom. So Hashem saw that the people at that time were really evil, and they were always evil. Vayinachem Hashem ki asa asa adam ba'aretz v'yis atzev el libo. And Hashem was comforted, or there's machlokas on how to interpret the word vayinachem, which we're going to explain. But vayinachem Hashem ki asa asa adam there was some nichum there that he made man ba'aretz v'yis atzev el libo, and he was saddened in his heart. And Rashi says over there, vayinachem, what is vayinachem? Davar acher vayinachem. So within the idea of the concept of Vayinachem, it's a change of your machshava, of God's machshava, at least in this situation, from Midas Rachamim to Midas Adin. Also, a machshava lefanav ma la'asos ba'adam she'asa ba'aretz. So what happened was he was thinking what he should do with the people in the world, and now he was moving to midas adin to destroy them. V'chein kol lashon nichum shebemikra lashon nimloch ma la'asos. And anytime it uses the lashon of nichum in the Torah, it means deciding what to do. Uven adam ba'yisnachim al avadav yisnachim ba'yinachim al ara'a nichamti kim lachti kulam lashon machshava acheresim. So the concept of nechama, or nichum, of that lashon, is the idea of having a new thought, of really moving to a new idea, a new concept, like changing from midas rachmim to midas hadin. So maybe the same could be said by Aaron and the idea of nichum ultimately. So I think the idea of nichum, just like over here in this Rashi, is to change your mindset somewhat. And nichum occurs after the whole situation of the Shiva and after you go through the mourning period. But the concept of nichum is that a person has to take themselves out of a certain mindset and move to a new mindset. And the mindset that a person has to move from and to is from a mindset of guilt, blame, all the aspects of mourning, those classic stages of mourning, to the concept of function, of how they're functioning, how they're impacting people, what impact have they made. And that's, in fact, the whole idea of being menachem. Because another aspect of nichum, other than empathy, is also showing, because you speak about the person who died, is showing the impact that the person who died, what he had on these individuals, how he impacted them. That's why there are all the always stories being brought up, and everybody, you know, the classic Shiva house is where the Aval tells stories, and everybody in the audience says, oh, yeah, I remember this story when he impacted me in a positive way, and I remember this story. The whole idea is to take the Aval's mindset of that blame, guilt, the anger, the bargaining, all those aspects that are natural for a person to feel when they're mourning, and to kind of transform them into focusing on the function and the purpose and the impact of the person after their death and even when they were alive. And that's what Moshe did. That's the paradigm of Nechama. Moshe was expressing that to Aaron by A, recognizing that he started going down the path of really questioning why this happened and whether his Avera caused it and feeling guilty for it. And Moshe was taking that and saying that you shouldn't be focusing on that. You need to focus on the idea of how they function and how their function for Kiddush Hashem was really ultimately something great, something that is amazing, and something that you need to appreciate. And his appreciation of that was really nichum. And if you go back to the Sforno, now it makes sense. What was Vayidom Aaron? What was his silence? His silence was his nachim the Kiddush Hashem shenekadesh b'mosam. The nichum came about through a recognition of how they functioned in this instance. He was able to transform his natural mourning emotions of all those stages of mourning, of that feeling of guilt and blame. He was able to transform it and focus on the Kiddush Hashem shenekadesh b'mosam. He was able to transform his mindset from one of blaming himself to one of really focusing on the impact and the function of their death on others. And the reason why it was such a perfection for Aaron and why it was unique to Aaron, because yes, ultimately for a regular person, you give a person time. It doesn't happen automatically. It's not supposed to happen automatically. By the way, just before we get to that last point, also the Ramban makes sense also. What does that mean? Shaya bocha bekol v'ashasa. So the bocha fits into the medrash. He started feeling that natural feeling of blame, guilt, the natural mourning feeling of crying. And that's the bocha. It's a reference to the medrash, I believe, where it says, Aaron omed b'toa, amar oyli shekachi avera b'yadi u'b'yad banai. When he started saying that, that's when people start crying, when they start blaming themselves and they start feeling guilty. That is part of the mourning experience. But he was able to shasa, meaning at a certain point, he was able to transform his mentality, transfer it into this new idea, this new concept of nichum, of feeling comforted by the way in which they impacted others through the idea of Kiddush Hashem. And the reason why Aaron, this is unique to Aaron.
Ginsburg?
Yeah.
Ginsburg?
Yeah.
Is, So what about the idea that in like an Avelis, there's like at the time of like tshuva, for a person to reflect on their sins and to change themselves? Like how does that, like, I hear there's like a negative way of anger and guilt and depression and bargaining, but isn't there also like a positive path?
There is. And that's why I think that normally there's a shiva of 7 days, but you don't have that in fact, Deraisa, it's only one day, but Moshe added extra days. And I think that's why. I think because there's a recognition for a normal person that there is a process of getting from step A to step B. And in that process, there are also positives like going through tshuva. But Aaron couldn't do that because he was the Kohen Gadol, which is what I was going to, yeah.
Oh, so you're saying for a regular person besides, is this like a unique situation where when a person is like thinking that their sins caused the tragedy, you want to just move their mind to something else? Or in general, should you try to do that? I mean, I hear the idea, you don't, there is like a negative stewing in it. So are you saying you should always try to move them away from it or?
Right. So I would say that for a normal person, there's a process and you obviously there's a balance. So it's a little bit of a complex question, but there's a balance between the good that comes about through those ideas, but also the negatives of stewing in it, like you just said. So I think there's a balance. And that's why there's this man of mourning. And you don't assume that a person's like Aaron, that they're just going to go from step A to step B in a moment, you know? So, and once we assume that about people, about the average person, now use those, you know, use those concepts for the good, use them to do tshuva and don't use them for the purpose of like stewing in them, like you were saying, and like destroying yourself. So yeah, I think that this was an unusual situation because it was Aaron. I think for a normal person, the goal of Shiva is to get them from step A to step B, but there's a recognition that for a normal person, there's a process and the process takes time and you have to balance the good aspects of those emotions and the bad aspects of those emotions of guilt and avera. But for Aaron, that's what I was going to get to at the end. For Aaron, he couldn't be that like that. Because if you look in the Rambam in Avel, it's not just the Rambam, but the Rambam says in 16, in Avel Gimel Vav, he says, Kohen Gadol Eino Metame L'Krovim, Shneamar, L'Aviv Limo Lo Yitama. So the Kohen Gadol, he's not really allowed to be in a state of Avelus. He's not allowed to become Tame. L'chein Eino Nichnas Mames Be'ol Afilu Krovav. He can't be Metame to his Karov. Shneamar, V'al Kol Nafshos Mes Lo Yavo. Halamata Shu Chai V'lo Yavo. L'chai V'lo Yitama. So he's not allowed to become Tameh. Ketza Nago Nasa Loke Achas, Nichnas Ol V'yashuv Sham Achim Mesal Av HaMes, Osh Nichnas L'shida Tevo Migdal Uvachaveru Ufar Alav Gag HaShida, Sherei Toma Ubiya Ban Ke'achad, Harezit Loke Shtayim, Mishum Loyavo, Mishum Loyitama. Okay, so the basic reason why I brought in this Rambam is that idea, that concept, that the Kohen Gadol is unique, and that's why Aaron's different than the average person. So the Kohen Gadol always has to be in a state of service, of Avodah LaHashem. And that's why Kohen Gadol can't be in a normal state of Avelus, nor can he be Mitame, because Tumah takes him away from that state of mind and that state of being a Kohen Gadol, of serving Hashem. And for Aaron, he always has to be in that state, because you're always working in the Mikdash. So therefore, by Aaron, it was specifically necessary for him to transfer his mentality, change his mentality from one of focusing on Avera, guilt, blame, all those things, to want to function because of his role as Kohen Gadol. And that's why it had to be immediate. It couldn't be over a process of 7 days. And that's why Moshe had to take this action, even though he's expressing the paradigm of Nichum, it had to be quicker, more efficient with Aaron because of his state, because he always had to be in that proper state of mind of being an Ovid Hashem. And you can't be in that state of mind when you're an Ovel, when you're mourning and going through those natural feelings of guilt, blame, anger, all those things are contrary to the idea of serving Hashem, of being an Ovid in the Mikdash. And so that's why if you go back earlier, 1 second.
Ginsburg?
Yeah, sure.
Maybe you could say it's good because normally the halacha is you don't give tanchumim to someone before the kvura. But it seems like this Moshe Rabbeinu did before they even carried out the corpses. So right. Maybe it's like because there wasn't time for him to be involved in the normal crying and the normal process because of his role. So he had to like quit, exactly.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that's exactly right. Agreed. That's the idea. He didn't have time. He always had to constantly be in that state of service of avoda. And as soon as Moshe realized that there was this danger that emerged with Aaron, that he was going to fall into this natural mourning situation, Moshe countered it. And the way he countered it was by taking him out of that mentality and focusing more on the impact that they had, the Kiddush Hashem that emerged. And as a result of that, so that's why the Medrash says, or Rashi says, excuse me, in source number 8, what was his schar? His schar was Nisyachid Imo Adibor, that he got prophecy from Hashem. So that is an expression, reflection of his state of mind, that you can only be a Navi if you're in a certain state of mind, if you're capable of maintaining a certain state of mind. And the idea is it's a Mida Keneged Mida, it's a schar that naturally fit his perfection. His perfection was that he was able to get himself out of that negative aspect of mourning, of going into that, you know, blame, guilt, all those things. And he was able to maintain a state of mind, even though there's a temporary lapse, He was able to bring it back to what he was supposed to be. And as a result of that, he received schar. What was the schar? He got nevuah. Why did he get nevuah? As a reflection of the idea, the concept that he was capable of maintaining that state. He was always in that state of being an Oved Hashem. And that's why he was right to receive nevuah. So I think that the reason why, before we open it up to more questions, this idea is really impactful for me, just not just with regard to Shemini, but also with mourning in general. You know, I think the biggest change in the framework of Nechama and how to achieve Nechama is trying to get yourself to you have to go through, or normal people go through that process. But there's a certain point where you have to move beyond just the blame, the guilt, the anger, all those aspects of mourning. There's a certain point where you have to focus on impact. Like, how does this person impact me? How is this person, or how will they impact me? How will they impact others? All those types of questions. It's almost like the why versus the what question, like the Brisker question. It's like when you focus on the why did this happen? You know, what's the reason for this happening? At a certain point, that could be positive, like Rabbi Zimmer was saying, in a certain sense. It could help you do tshuva, but it's also negative. It brings you down. It brings you into this state of constantly, of never getting out of this state of these negative emotions that are contrary to the idea of serving Hashem, which is why the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be in that state. And we should strive to be in that state. So ultimately, Nechama comes about when you can transform your mentality with regard to your loved one who died, when you can transform that mentality from moving beyond the why did this happen, you know, questions and the depression and the anger, which stem from that guilt feeling, and moving to the concept of now, how can I use this to impact me? How did this person impact others? How can I use this experience to impact me in a positive way? So when you move to function, when you move to the what, you know, what can I do with this? So that's really the idea of how to transform, the Torah's idea of how to transform from somebody who's stuck in the state of mourning to somebody who can move forward. And I think for different people, it takes different amounts of time. Some people take longer than others. I think that's why Moshe recognized for the average person that the concept of mourning, you know, you need Shiva. You can't just do it in one day. But in the ideal sense, you know, Aaron's the ideal. Aaron's the epitome of this great state of being constantly in Oved Hashem, but the average person can't do that. And as a result, like Rabbi Zimmer was saying, I agree with 100%, because you can't do that, you have to guard yourself while you're in that state of blame, guilt. You have to guard yourself from falling into that trap and use that to do tshuva. But ultimately, Nechama only comes about with that transformation of your mindset. And that's the idea that Rashi was saying of Nichum. Nichum is about changing your mindset, like Hashem with Midas HaRachamim to Midas HaDin, the idea of a machshava acheres. So you have to adopt a machshava acheres at some point in your mourning process in order to move forward, in order to actually, you know, utilize that experience for the good, for your benefit, for others' benefit. So I think that's what this is teaching us, this whole idea of Nadav and Avihu's death and how Aaron responded. And yeah, so that's the end of the shir. So any questions at all? Any other questions? Yes.
It seems like there's... you know, the beginning that there's a balance is a danger of getting too steeped in the morning, but at the same time, there's a great benefit of the, you know, the pashvish v'maisav and the tshuva, which can come from the morning. It seems like the way the Torah has its balance is that there's a lot, there's like times, three days for crying and then seven for shiva and shloshim. And that's like kind of helps give a person a program to do it in a healthy way and not to do it in a harmful way. So we just say that the Kohen Gadol, given that he's an Aaron, given that he can't do that because he has this greater societal role, would you say that he loses out on the opportunity of tshuva, which Avelis ordinarily affords, or is somehow he doesn't lose out?
That's a good question. I mean, I think a person on that level can achieve tshuva without being steeped in those emotions. So I think that he doesn't lose out. That's my take, but it's a good question. I mean, how he can go about doing that. But I think he could still achieve that because of his level, he's able to achieve that tshuva without actually being steeped emotionally in those feelings. So I do think he could, but it's a good question.
But even high level people have avelus. It's just the Kohen Gadol because of his role of Mizvah.
I'm not sure. I mean, it could also be that this is not, if the Kohen Gadol needs to do tshuva, there are other ways for him to do tshuva. It could be there's another prescription for him to do tshuva, not through avelus. That's one possibility, or if he, even though he's not in the actual Avelis, he could compensate for it in some sense. So there are two ways to go. I'm not sure which way to go, but it's a good question. Yeah.
Maybe you could say also that for a Kohen Gadol, it's always like a Kiddush Hashem for him to put his personal feelings, aside and work in the Mikdash. Like he has Kadosh Lashem and the tzitz on his, he's the person. Every Kohen Gadol is always dedicated to Hashem. So maybe for him to like put it aside and not get involved in the personal is always a Kiddush Hashem. So he has that available to him. That is his tshuva.
Right.
But for
right.
a regular person, that form of tshuva is not necessarily right. available for him to be in.
So you're saying that he can compensate. I mean, both, you're saying that he has other ways to do tshuva that a regular person doesn't have. So yeah, he's missing out on the Avelis, but on the morning of the Avelis, but he has other ways to do tshuva, other things that remind him of the idea of God that he doesn't really need necessarily from morning. Yeah, makes sense.
Right.
All right. Any other questions?
Rabbi Ginsburg?
Yes.
So I like the idea that that he got the nevuah as like a midah keneged midah for his vayidom for transitioning his state back into the state of being an oved Hashem. Any yeah. further thoughts on why it was nisyached imo? It sounds like right after that you have vayidabar Hashem and Moshe right. el Aaron. Why was this nisyached? Why is that as a chus for him?
Good question.
Or the appropriate chus.
I don't know. I mean, why he could, it could have just been given to him and Moshe and it could have just said, oh,
correct.
This was that he, yeah.
Right, like right after by the behemoth, by the behemoth to man, Tohora is by Dabar Shem Moshe Bel Aaron Lemor.
I mean, it could be that he had he was privy to greater insight into the nature of this problem of this flaw after his children had died as a result of it. So maybe he was more ruly for this Nevuah than Moshe. Like in a certain sense, he could have greater insight, greater knowledge of this area because of his experience with it, with his children. So maybe that's why. So it wasn't just the fact that he was in a state of mind to receive Nevuah, but it was also the concept that he saw certain ideas that he might not have had before about the nature of drinking wine and why it's harmful, why it's negative. He understood it to a greater degree. And as a result of that, it was Nisyached Imo Hadibur, because he had this knowledge that maybe Moshe didn't have at that moment.
So not only did he put himself back into the state of an Oved Hashem, but he even gained from the experience exactly. in a way to give him further insight.
Yes, yeah.
Right. Exactly. More to the what you're like you were saying before, gives him an experience what he could do with this.
Exactly.
He already put it to use to give him insight into being a greater Oved Hashem.
Exactly, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, very nice.
All right, thank you. Any other questions? All right.
Rabbi Ginsburg?
Yes.
Yeah, I was wondering, in terms of Nadav and Aviu being in a Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, it seems like you were trying to explain it that they wanted to follow Moshe and Aaron and they wanted to get as high as they can. But it seems like that they're going in the right, everybody always wants to get as high as they can, but the proper thing is to do it in the right methodology.
Right.
And obviously you saw from by Mishpatim, they were doing the wrong methodology. So I was wondering, how is that Mekadesh Shem Shemayim? They're going the wrong way about getting something. I know a lot of people do that. Yeah.
No, their death was Kiddush Shem Shemayim, not what they did. Meaning the fact that they were punished by Hashem and he killed them was the Kiddush Hashem, because people realized that as a result of their death, you can't use this methodology, that this is not the proper methodology. So it wasn't their actions that were Mekadesh Hashem, it was their death that impacted people and that created a Kiddush Hashem.
How did you explain why Moshe said that they're greater than us? Like, what is that?
Yeah, so I'm saying they're greater than us, not in terms of like their perfection as individuals, they're greater than us in that they functioned for Kiddush Hashem to a greater level than we could have. Because had Moshe and Aaron died, I'm just surmising, but there would have been a lot more backlash. It would have had a more negative effect on the people, because Aaron and Moshe were Aaron and Moshe, and there would have been an anger there towards God, as opposed to Nadav and Avihu, where they kind of fit that role perfectly. The people still had Moshe and Aaron as their leaders, and yet they could see what the flaw was and why what they did was wrong. So that's in that sense, they were greater. They were greater in their ability to function as the Kiddush Hashem in this situation, but they weren't greater individuals than Moshe and Aaron. All right. Any other questions? All right. Thank you, everybody. I really appreciate it coming to the shir, and have a good week. And
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.